Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
So I got a bit of a disclaimer from our usual opening. There's really not going to be too much legal frivolity going on in this episode, I don't think.
Just frivolity.
Just straight up frivolity. So we were both on vacation this past week.
And, yeah, yours was kind of a honeymoon vacation.
It was.
Except you had the boys along.
Yeah, they were there for a spell.
Yeah.
And we sent them home, and we went out to San Diego, out in California.
Why San Diego? I didn't ask you before you left where you were going, really. And when I started seeing pictures of you in San Diego, I was like, why is he in San Diego? What was the draw to San Diego?
Well, neither Stephanie and I have been to San Diego, so we decided to go there. We wanted to go out west. Stephanie wanted to go to California because she'd never been there before.
Really?
And I'd never been to California, despite having been to California before. So we picked
You'd
San Diego.
You've never been to California despite being to California?
No, I'd never been to San Diego.
Oh, but before. You've been to California.
Yeah, I've been to California a couple times. So L.A. and San Francisco. So this was my last major city, I think, to knock it off the coastal list.
I see.
So.
Well, I hadn't been to California till last year.
Yeah.
We went down there on one of the tours where we went babysitting for the girls while the boys were touring. And so we went out that way. That was the first time I've been to California.
I thought you went out there in 49.
With the 49ers, yeah. The gold was running high and heavy. But then the gold ran out, and the whiskey ran out, and then the women beer. Ran out, then and the beer ran out.
So where'd you all go for vacation?
Well, we went, instead of going someplace we'd never been, we went someplace we had been before.
Uh-huh.
We went back to the Isle of Palms off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful. We found a house there last year, and we stayed in it, and it was a nice house.
Yeah.
It wasn't very kid-friendly, though. It was too nice. It had, like, a grand piano in the living room and crystal tables and stuff, and we were trying to keep, you know, kids from knocking things over.
That sounds a little scary.
Yeah. So, but what we had noticed was three doors down from us, well, on one side of us was Casa Flamingo, which was all pink and bunches of flamingos all over it, which that lit Charlie up. Charlie was ready to move in over there. That was going to be her house. But three doors down kind of lit me up. It was Casa Margarita.
Hmm.
You know me and a margarita.
Yeah. They go together like margaritas and salt.
That's right. So Sydney looked it up when we were down there last year and said, here's a week it's available. Can anybody make that happen? As much as you can plan a year later, we all said yes. So we booked it then so we would be able to go down there now. And this place was beautiful. And we had a bunch of McElroys down there with us. There was 15 of us all together. And we stayed in this Casa Margarita that was very decorated. With all kinds of stuff.
I saw lots of pictures of pirates everywhere.
Yeah, they had pirate statues stuck in all over the place. And they kind of scared Cooper a little bit, some of them, the manly ones. But there was also a couple of female ones. And the female ones were quite buxom and wearing low-cut shirts and things. So Cooper eventually started calling one of them Booby Pirate.
Booby Pirate?
Yeah, yes. She knows what those are because she's still drinking out of them. So.
She's scared of my beard.
Yeah.
Well, although I'd say probably the week before I went on vacation, she was really, we actually kind of hit it off a little bit more than we usually have because every time she sees me, she kind of starts crying, but she didn't start crying last time. So maybe she's getting used to the beard. I don't know.
Well, that's good, but I hate to inform you, whenever something kind of scared her, she would say, it's Michael. It's Michael.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When we had her out in the ocean, she was acting like she wanted to get out and said, what's wrong? Why do you want to go in? And she was saying, it's Michael. It's Michael. I don't believe you. Yeah, I wouldn't tell you that.
Oh, it breaks my heart. Why is she so scared of me? I don't get it.
It's just the beard. I don't know. All the male pirates, she didn't want to go near them. She'd go near the female ones, but not the males. As a matter of fact, one of them was more of a hula dancer than a pirate that was up in the living room and stationed right by the TV.
Yeah.
And she had on a grass skirt. And Cooper kept walking over and sticking her head up the grass skirt and kind of hiding inside the skirt. So that looked a little bit funny, her little head peeking out from this lady's grass skirt.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that you would have liked about San Diego is there is a ton of craft beer there.
Yeah.
It has probably more craft beer than anywhere else I've ever been.
I've read something just the other day that said California has more craft breweries than any other state, and by like this number two has like half the number
that
California does.
Oh, there was like a map of 100 different craft breweries in the San Diego area. I mean, it was amazing. And now there's a bunch of them that I had heard of before that I've kind of been fans of that I've had in different places, but there's some I'd never heard of before. They were really good too. So,
well, they're more local probably. They don't get out as much.
Yeah, exactly. We stayed in a Pacific Beach, which was pretty cool. And then we also stayed a couple of days in La Jolla, and La Jolla is really cool. It's pretty.
La Jolla, La Jolla.
I will
That's
say
fun
this.
To say. La Jolla, La Jolla, La Jolla, Maka Maka Baka Woo.
I can see why it's a popular place, because it's really crowded.
Yeah.
That's the only downside of California. Really crowded.
That's what sounds like what Bob Dylan said about college.
What's that?
He said, I went to college. One thing I learned in college is a lot of people go to college.
College was the best 8 years of my life. Well, so we talked a little about our vacation. We also wanted to touch on some court-appointed news.
Yeah, such as it being the start of season four.
That's right.
We just wapped up season three.
You didn't even realize it.
Season four, yeah.
The last episode you listened to, that was the season three finale.
That was a swan song.
Yeah, so this starts season four.
Yeah.
Why is it season four?
Because 3 years ago, almost to the day, it was towards the end of July.
It was dark and stormy.
It was dark and stormy. We did our first episode.
That's right.
And launched it then. And if you remember, things have changed a lot for us over this time. Because if you remember, at the time, you had just moved back here.
That's true.
You were coming off your divorce.
That's true.
You were single back here, and you had plenty of spare time. You weren't even sure if you wanted to continue being a lawyer, as I remember.
Well,
you were still kind of kicking around whether that was really what you wanted to do or not.
I was kind of rudderless.
Yeah, and so you had a lot of time on your hand, and you and Mary, I think, came up with the idea, hey, we could do a podcast like Sydney and Justin do with Sawbones, only it could be a legal one.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in on this. It was just like, I came home and you said, hey, I got an idea for a podcast. I've already got a name for it.
Yep.
And I've already got the music for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, what do I do? Well, you just need to ask dumb things like Justin does in Sawbones.
It's a no-miss format.
Yeah.
Although, after we first said our name, somebody put something on Twitter or Facebook. I can't remember who said it, but they said, I think Lawbones would have been a better name.
Well, that might have been good.
And instantly, I was like, dang.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. That would have been... I know that imitation is a sincerest form of flattery, but that might have been a little too close.
A little too much over the top.
Yeah, that might have really been trying to cash in on them.
My brother-in-law, and the law in me, or something.
But, you know, we started out not knowing anything about it. I mean, I knew very little about a podcast or how they worked or editing them or anything else. How does this get out into the universe and all that kind of thing? And we've come a long way since then.
Yeah.
And we first started it, and, you know, we didn't know what kind of response we'd get or how many people would listen to it. And we were just individuals. I mean, as far as we weren't part of a network, we didn't start it and automatically get brought into Max Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Max Fun didn't need any more podcasts made up of this type of person or format.
Exactly.
So we weren't invited over there. And so we had talked with some of the other podcasts through Still Buffering that started that Still Buffering podcast page.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of other ones that were individual, and everybody was trying to figure out, how do we get bigger? How do we get more people? And how do we start a network? Maybe we start a network. And we were exploring that when all of a sudden, out of the blue, we get an offer from Audio Boom, and I thought it was a scam. I'm like, what is this? Who would call? Who's been listening that called us up and wants to know if we want to become part of their network? So that was really a turning point for
it
us
was,
to
yeah.
get picked up by them, and it made us feel like we must be doing okay anyway if they want to put us in there. And then there's people that actually pay for us to do advertising for them.
Yay, we're average.
We're at least average.
We're at
least mediocre. In the world of podcasts, this one ranks as the most mediocre of all.
Most average podcast you've ever heard.
That's better than being below average.
That's true. But yeah, it does seem like a long time ago.
Yeah,
I think part of the reason why I was maybe a little rudderless with my direction as far as career-wise is that while I was an attorney and a lawyer in Florida, I really did not have the same joy as practicing there as I have practicing here in West Virginia, in my hometown. And I don't know what it is about it, but I think I just like practicing here a lot. I have a lot of great friends that I've known pretty much most of my life that are lawyers here, which kind of makes it a bit more familial, incestuous, whatever you want to call it.
Some of the judges you have relationships with?
Yeah, it's true.
Sexual ones.
I clerked for one of the judges and, know my way around the courthouse. So it's kind of nice like that.
You know where the best bathrooms are?
I told
me about that.
Well, I knew where the best bathrooms were in Florida, too. So I had that going for me.
Oh, okay. Well, you always scout that out first, huh?
Yeah. So, but yeah, the time definitely don't have as much time now.
That was the thing when we did it, when we started back then, it was always like, you want to record an episode? How about tomorrow? You want to record another one? Hey, I got nothing going on. How about another one tomorrow? No, Michael, I got to work.
Yeah.
But you had all kinds of time. Now it's like just the opposite. Hey, Mike, we got to get an episode in. Mike, we're running behind. I know, but I got this and I got that. And now not only do you have your thriving legal practice, but you became an instant family with three teenage sons.
That's true. And so, I'm also a high school soccer coach.
Yeah, and a high school soccer
coach. I'm about to go practice.
Which coach. None of your teenage sons are involved in, and you're still doing it.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So.
But this will probably be my last season as a soccer coach because I feel like I kind of made a 3-year commitment to some of the kids on the team to coach them through their senior year. And I'll be seeing them through this year, and they'll probably be my swan song.
Yeah, usually when we're recording, you're either coming from a soccer game or practice or having to go to a soccer game or practice. So we're going to have to squeeze them in.
Definitely in the fall.
Yeah.
Also, I still play soccer too. So
that's right. That's what I mean. I'm not just saying just coaching. I'm saying playing too. Year round, we're working around soccer. Me, I'm debilitated, so I don't have any things that I have to go do.
Yeah, you played a good bit of basketball in your day, though.
Yeah, but I'm all wore out now. See, I've got two new knees since we started this podcast.
That's true. You're more machine than man now.
That's right. I'm being rebuilt from the ground up. They want to replace my shoulder next, but I said, no, I'm going to put that off.
That's my podcasting shoulder. I can't.
That's right.
Yeah, we started out, too. I actually used to edit the shows, and now you edit the shows, too.
Yeah, yeah, because I had more time. At first, you had all the time, and you were doing it. Then you weren't getting enough time to get them edited, so I said, let me do that. So I jumped in and started, but I've learned a lot about it, and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an experience.
Hey, I had one other neat thing happen on vacation.
Oh, yeah?
Of course, Taylor flew in there from New York, and she was there with us, as well as Travis's and Teresa, well, Teresa's sister, Liz, also lives in New York. So her and Taylor flew in together, and they stayed there, too, because Travis and Teresa and their little girl, Bebe, was also there.
Yeah, beach. I don't know Liz.
When I never met her until she came down for the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So she and Taylor have started doing a podcast together called Neat.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that was the familial relation. I watched it and listened to the episode, but I didn't realize that's who that was.
Yeah, that's Travis's sister-in-law.
Oh.
So anyway, they started this podcast called Neat, where they explore different drinks, how to make them, and the history behind them, and some things like that. Well, in addition to the podcast, for each episode, they make a little YouTube clip of actually making the drink.
Right.
So while we were down there, they were getting ready to do an episode on margaritas.
That's very fitting.
Yeah, while we were at the beach. So
staying in Casa Margarita.
Staying in Casa Margarita. So we actually shot it in the kitchen at Casa Margarita. And I say we because what she did, she was making a proper margarita, which is on the rocks, not frozen.
Yeah.
And how you make it with all the real ingredients. And she said, we think it'd be fun. Why don't you come on and do a common margarita or a dad margarita?
Oh, geez.
The way that I've always made them. So I got there with my Jose Cuervo mix and my Jose Cuervo tequila and ice and a blender.
And my margarita comes in a bucket.
That's right. And I'm making it. And I did teach them something, though, because they were complaining earlier in the week about not having shot glasses at the house. We had to run out and get shot glasses. And they ran out and got shot glasses. And I said, you know, as long as you got a good blender, you got a shot glass. And I took the top, the middle part off the blender lid.
Oh, yeah.
That's got a 2 ounce shot glass built into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a shot glass. And Liz was like, no, it's not. And I said, yeah, it is. It's even got it measured 1 ounce and 2 ounce. Are you sure? They take it out of my hand and look at it. It does. I didn't know that. Well, why did you tell us that we were looking for a shot glass? I said, didn't occur to me. I wasn't making margaritas. So anyway, I said, so if you got a good blender, you don't need a shot glass. And so I made my margaritas in the cap there. And I said, now make sure you put it back in before you hit it in the blender, or you're going to have a mess.
Yeah. That'd be the margarita explosion.
So I made my margaritas, and I rimmed to get the rim wet to salt it. I dipped it down in the top of the drink, you know, while it's still in the pitcher, and did all three glasses that way, and then rimmed them with the salt and poured it.
Right.
And I said, and it's okay if you're bringing your glass back, you've already drank out of it, and you make another one, you want to stick it down in there to make another one. That's okay, because there's alcohol in there. It'll kill the germs.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's completely antiseptic.
Yeah. What did Taylor say to that?
Taylor said, oh, that makes it clean. I said, yeah, I don't think so. So they were saying that might be a way to keep the pitcher all to yourself if you stuck your glass down in there.
That's double dipping.
So then I had to tell the Callaghan story about what Callaghan always did with his pizza when he ordered them at the dorms.
What's that?
I know I've told you that in the past.
I guess I've forgotten.
Remember that was my buddy from New Jersey that lived in Towers there with me? And whenever anybody in the dorms got a pizza, everybody on the floor would smell it.
Right.
And everybody would come, hey, can I have a piece? Can I have a piece? Well, if you gave everybody a piece, you wouldn't have your pizza.
Yeah.
So Callaghan, he got tired of this and telling people no. So as soon as he got it, he would make a public display of opening it up and spitting on top of the pizza. And then he'd offer anybody. Anybody want a piece? No, that's all right. No, you're good. So then he got the whole pizza to himself. Nobody ever asked Callaghan for a piece of pizza. Eventually, he probably quit spitting on it, but nobody would take the chance.
Yeah. Well, that's
like Russian roulette.
I probably told you this in response to the Callaghan story now that you said that. That was when we would travel for soccer games. And we'd get a hotel room, and the hotel room would have basically two beds and a couch. And so the fight was over who got the beds and who got the couch. So basically the second you go in the room, you just rip your pants down naked and run and jump in a bed and get under the cover and start rolling around. Because basically nobody wanted to get in the bed after you'd been in there naked.
Michael, I've never heard this story of you rolling around naked in the bed.
Yeah, that was a way to claim your bed for the soccer road trip.
I don't want to hear this story. I'm picturing these soccer guys naked piling on each other trying to get a better claim to the bed.
I was here first.
Oh. It sounds like it turns into some kind of Greek free-for-all there. I'm not sure.
There was never a crossing of the streams or anything going on like that. Usually when somebody did it, it was kind of like, whoa, okay, this guy really wants this bed.
So. I'm thinking of somebody that jumps high to get in the bed and somebody else jumped low. And he makes the landing right on top.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Yeah, docking maneuver. But I did have two parts of the trip that really bothered me.
Okay.
And that's two stretches along the road that you have to drive to get there.
Hmm.
Charlotte is one of them.
Yep.
Now, Charlotte has always been a tangled web that you go through, and it really slows you down trying to get through there.
There's no quick way to get through it. You kind of have to go through it and jump on different roads and back around. And
it's just terrible. Well, it's been under construction for a long time, and part of the reason, I guess, was it used to just be Charlotte. Now it's backed all the way out to the part they call Lake Norman.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been down there, but the whole way, once you hit Lake Norman, it's just bumper to bumper the whole way through there.
That's where Davidson is.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've heard of Davidson. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
But so you got all this traffic. So they've had all this construction. You think, oh, they're going to widen it and make it back bigger so that it'll relieve some of this congestion. Well, what they did, they put in this toll express lane.
Oh, boy.
So you can drive for like a 2, maybe a 3 mile stretch, and it's 45 cents or something like that. It's posted up on there. Mm-hmm. And you come to the next 2 or 3 mile stretch, it might be 65 cents, something like that. So. But you've got to buy one of these transponders and get signed up and pay whatever the fee is.
Yeah.
So that's fine if you're local. Now, if you're passing through, I'm not sure how it works. They did have a thing that said pay by mail. So I'm assuming that means, and it looked like there were some cameras along through there. So I'm assuming they get your license plate number.
Yeah.
And then they just send you a bill for what you spent in the express lane. But I don't know that.
That's what happens in Florida, because Florida has turnpikes that you have transponders for called a Sun Pass. And if you do, if you don't have money in your balance, your Sun Pass, or you don't have a Sun Pass and you go through, they basically take a picture of your license plate and they send you the bill.
Well, that's what I assumed, but I didn't know if you had to sign up for the mail pass too, you know, the mail feed to do it. So I don't know. But I wasn't going to get in there, and then a cop pulls me over and says, you're not supposed to be in here. So I didn't even think about it. But here we are, bumper to bumper. And what they did is they've taken the shoulders away from the two lanes that you did have.
Yeah.
So that they could make enough room to put in this express lane. So now those two lanes are even worse.
Even tighter.
Yeah, because you're bumper to bumper and no shoulder on either side. And here's the express lane. The whole time we're in the express lane, both going down and coming back, I saw maybe a dozen people go by on it. So it's not relieving congestion. It's helping a few locals that probably have transponders drive along through there.
Yeah.
You know? Now, here's one of the kickers, too. It says on there, it says, you know, pay by mail. Then it has a sign, if you pay attention down through there, it says pay by mail tolls are higher.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell you how much.
Yeah.
But they're higher. So you could drive down through there and get a bill in the mail for $500.
Well.
Hey, we warned you it's higher, you know.
I doubt it's that much.
You don't know.
It's probably like 20 or 30 bucks, I bet.
Well, yeah, but it's supposed to be 45 cents and 60 cents and things is what it's up there. And that's what I'm saying. You don't know how much that bill is going to be, and you can't contest it, I would think, legally, Mr. Lawyer.
But can you put a price tag on time?
Well, yes. Yes. So I avoided the express lane.
I do it every day when I work.
Yeah, that's right. You do. But I avoided the express lane. And then the other one is 26.
Oh, I knew you were going to say 26.
From Columbia to Charleston, actually, or if you're going to get off on 95 right through there. That is bumper to bumper the entire way. They haven't widened it. I mean, you got three lanes as you first start out of Columbia, but it's after about 15 miles, it narrows down to two. And what really gets me is you go 80 miles an hour and come to a dead stop.
Yeah.
80 miles an hour, come to a dead stop.
And the other problem is, too, is that is heavily patrolled.
Oh, yeah.
Heavily patrolled.
And there's no shoulders there either.
Yeah. If you think you get out of the traffic and you speed up a little bit and you get going too fast, you're going to get pulled over.
Well, you're
going
to run into somebody, too.
Well,
because
even when there's no traffic on it, the rare times there's no traffic on it, if you get going too fast on it, you get pulled over.
I've never seen it with no traffic.
Oh,
Now in old days, because we lived down there, going to Waycross, we would go that way. And that was back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that bad then.
Well,
but now it's terrible.
I would say probably at least 5 or 6 years ago, I was still driving it somewhat on the regular, because I would take that to come home from Florida. So I'd come up like 95 through Jacksonville, then up that way and cut over there.
Yeah.
But,
26 is terrible.
It is.
They need to widen it. If the governor of South Carolina is listening to our podcast, widen 26. That should be a priority.
Make that your priority?
Yeah. We went to an escape room in Charleston.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, tell me about it.
All of us in there with Charlie and Cooper even.
We went to an escape room in San Diego.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got out in about 37 minutes.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah. We just missed the record by a couple of minutes, and it was because we couldn't understand one of the clues. It was a vocal thing that came in like a old-timey radio.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't understand what they were saying.
Ours had one of those, too. Ours was called, it was at Quicksand Escape Room. It was the Speakeasy Nouveau. Hmm. And I won't spoil it for anybody that might try, because they're kind of adamant about not spoiling any of the things like that. And I wouldn't want... It was really good, though, because... And this is what I wasn't expecting, and this won't spoil it, because this will just tell you how in-depth it was. I'd never been to one before. But you start off like in a speakeasy, like in a barbershop, and then basically walls move and things open up, and you go into different rooms.
Right.
And I had never been in like something like that before. It was crazy. This whole wall just goes, whoosh. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one of those too.
And then the way we actually ended up finishing it early, because Van was prying around with his fingers, and he got his little grubby fingers up under something and actually released a magnet that dropped the key to solve it.
Oh.
When that wasn't how you were supposed
to
do it.
He didn't solve it. He just broke it, huh?
He kind of broke it. So Van, the youngest, he broke, he's 15 with very curious fingers, and he broke the broke the escape room.
Curious George.
Yeah.
Well, we had Charlie and Cooper in there with us.
Yeah.
And, of course, Charlie, there's two things I learned out of that. Charlie gets her excitability from Sydney, I'm sure, because it'd be like Mary would be over there doing around something. She goes, oh, look, I think I found a clue. And Sydney would be there, look out, I'll take care of this, boom, and just knock you out of the way. So, okay, we need to do this. And she'd take complete charge. She would just be a fanatic. She gets highly competitive in those things. And Charlie, she, any little thing she found, it's like we found something, and then they had like the things from Clue, you know, the different weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
And you had to find those and place them in a certain place. She kept going over and picking up the ones we already found and saying, guys, look what I found. Look what I found. We're like, we've already found that. We placed that there for a reason.
I haven't done the one here in town, but I want to do it now.
Well, Sydney and Justin are banned from it because they like get out of it in like 5 minutes. Is it? They've
really?
They've done all of them, all the ones that are available there.
They have their picture up on the wall.
Yeah.
Do not let them in.
Yeah, because they know all the secrets.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I did a sad farewell right before we left on for the beach for Leon Keith Chameleon and his Yeah Good Day podcast.
Yeah, they closed up shop.
Yeah, he asked me if I would send him an audio clip for them to include in their final episode, so I did.
Did you?
Wishing them well and telling them I'm sorry that we're losing them. They were one of the ones struggling right along with us at the beginning when we were trying to form that our own network.
Yeah.
And they kind of ran into the same thing. They're both in new jobs. They're busy, and it's just hard to keep going with.
That's
it.
One thing you don't realize about podcasting. It's kind of simple to do like an occasional episode here and there when you have time, but really doing episodes when you don't have time
on a schedule,
mm-hmm. That's when it gets tricky and turns into a job.
Yeah, that's like, you know, here we are today. We're going to be a day late. We're recording this on Monday to go up Tuesday, whereas, as you know, we usually release on Monday morning.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, you got back in, what, Thursday night or something like that, Friday?
Oh, yeah, I got back in. It was Friday morning at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, and see, I got back in Saturday night. And then yesterday was just trying to get everything unpacked and ready for work today. And I spent all day today trying to get caught up at work from being gone for a week.
Yeah, I had... I'm involved in this one like extremely large litigation thing going on, and I had probably 300 emails from it.
Yeah.
it was scary.
Yeah, and that's gonna be.
Fortunately, someone else was checking in the whole time that I was gone, but I still had to go through and kind of get caught up on them. So
that's part of the reason why you're getting a non-legal podcast today.
Yeah.
We just haven't had time to get anything together, but we didn't want to not do anything, and we wanted to acknowledge season 4. And we thought, what the heck? We've both been on vacation. We've both had some fun experiences. Why not just share them with the people that we love?
That's true. So thanks for sharing our vacation stories with you.
Yeah, and there won't be any legal briefs today. We'll say it, though.
Vacation briefs. So vacation briefs is the part of the podcast or the episode where I asked Tommy about different things I did on my vacation. So, Tommy.
Well, I can name every meal you ate because you took a picture of every damn meal you went to. I was like, Michael's eating again. There's Michael eating.
We ate and drank our way through San Diego.
I know, and I got a picture of every meal you got.
You know, part of the reason I do that is because it keeps kind of almost like a journal to show where I ate, so I always remember it. So that way when I'm wanting to go give somebody advice to go out there or, you know, whatever, go out there again, I want to remember where I went. I always have it. So, I don't know. I do take pictures of my food and I post it on Facebook. So I'm guilty as charged.
Yes. Yes, you are. I don't think I've ever taken a picture of a meal that I've had before, unless it was eating me.
You ever took a picture of Callaghan's Pizza?
No, that was way before. They didn't even have phones back then.
They didn't even have cameras back then.
That's right. The phones, I would have had to get an Instamatic or something like that, or one of those ones where you do the Polaroids.
So where was the preferred pizza place to order from? Geno's?
Yeah, that was pretty much all you had around was Geno's. Giovanni's was probably around at Monty's, but the only one that would deliver was Geno's that I recall.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably the classic Huntington pizza joint.
Yeah, because I don't even think Giovanni's was around then. But yeah, it didn't really matter though. When it came to pizza, any pizza would do.
I'm with you on that.
If it showed up and you could smell it, it was fair game.
Well, thanks for indulging us with our vacation stories, and we'll see you next week with
a real episode.
Some legal frivolity.
Yeah.
Talk about law stuff.
Law stuff, legal stuff. You know, there's stuff happening. We need to get a good cache of them built up.
A good cache?
Good cachet.
Of what?
Of stories, of laws, of things to work on. Things to go over. We need to build some up.
Okay.
All right.
Let's build them.
All right. You do it. You have to know stuff. I just have to ask dumb questions. Remember, that was your idea from the beginning. It was your format. You know stuff. and I just say dumb stuff.
Yeah. It's like,
hey, and I say, well, I got my part down.
We need to build up a lot of episodes. You need to get to work and figure them all out and research them all.
That's right. And then I'll just sit here and make dumb comments.
That's the premise of the show.
Or as Charlie told Clint and I at one point, she said, you two grandpas have got to quit telling these dad jokes.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable Podcast for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.